studios of 96.3 FM Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California. It's time for the Weekly Freak Show. Headlines and highlights for the week ending Thursday, November 2nd, 2000. My name's the V-Man, and I'll be your host for this half-hour look back at the news and features you didn't hear in the corporate-controlled media. This week, we'll hear from Danny Dollinger on the connection between activism and music. We'll also be speaking with Jeremiah Pluker of the Civil Rights Preservation Fund on the police shooting of a 17-year-old Russian immigrant. And later, we'll hear from Green Party vice presidential candidate Winona LaDuc on some of the issues facing American women. All of that, plus this week's Spotlight Sound. Don't miss the Weekly Freak Show, coming up next. And now, headlines for the week ending November 2nd, 2000. A report released Thursday, October 26th, found that 16 men in 7 states were executed despite compelling evidence of their innocence. The report, titled Reasonable Doubts, Is the U.S. Executing Innocent People?, was produced by Equal Justice USA and was based on 5 months of research into trial, appellate, and investigative documents in cases from Alabama, California, Florida, Illinois, Missouri, Texas, and Virginia. The report found that incompetent defense counsel, prosecutorial misconduct, and racial bias played a major role in sending people to death row. The study's author, Claudia Whitman, recommended an immediate moratorium on executions be imposed, investigation into alleged cases of innocent people being executed, and compensation be provided to individuals or the families of individuals who have been wrongly convicted or wrongly executed. On Monday, October 30th, a truckload of silage was dumped on the exit lane of a McDonald's restaurant parking lot in Montpelier, Vermont. The action against McDonald's was done in protest of the food chain's use of genetically modified organisms in its products. The activist group Food and Water claimed responsibility for the dumping. No arrests were reported in the action. 5 activists from Berkeley Earth First were arrested on Monday, October 30th, after locking themselves to 50-gallon cement blocks in the driveway of the San Francisco Al Gore headquarters. The activists were demanding that Al Gore sever his ties to Occidental Petroleum, who are drilling for oil on the sacred lands of the Uwa tribe in Colombia. Al Gore has holdings in Occidental worth up to $1 million. As the activists were locked down, a banner was hung on the side of the building which read, "Oxy out of Uwa land." The Gore office was shut down for more than 5 hours as a result of the action. And finally, demonstrators set fire to government cars on Wednesday, November 1st, as part of a protest against the resumed construction of the massive Sardar Sarovar hydroelectric dam in India. Work on the dam, the largest of some 3,200 dams to be built on India's Narmada River and tributaries, was stalled for 6 years by an environmental lawsuit, but a court ruled last month that the construction could resume. Opponents of the dam have pledged to continue their fight on behalf of the tens of thousands of tribal members who would be displaced by the hydroelectric project. And those were headlines for the week ending November 2nd, 2000. Danny Dollinger is an activist musician who is currently on tour with a group named Call to Action. The tour made a recent stop in Santa Cruz, and Freak Radio's C-Line brought Danny into the studio. They discuss the importance of music in the struggle for liberation. Danny begins by explaining a little bit about the group he is touring with.
Call to Action is a collective, and it's a very young collective, so it's working on its collectivity, but it's an awesome group of folks who have skills in consensus training, direct action training, guerrilla tactics is one of the things that's offered, campus organizing, community outreach, just like probably 15 or 20 workshops offered amongst the five other folks on the tour, and I have the fat job. I just like get to play music, and they've been traveling around. They're currently working for Student Alliance to Reform Corporations, and we're traveling around campuses and skill sharing, empowering folks to set up their own campaigns, you know, and primarily working with folks who have a little bit less experience than, like, the Santa Cruz community or a lot of the folks on the West Coast, you know, so it's really interesting to come in and, you know, we did helped the kids in Iowa, a collection of colleges who got together for an environmental conference, and we helped give them advice on setting up a direct action at the Democratic National Headquarters, and it was a lockdown kind of scenario. Just awesome. You know, it's really neat to see folks who had some experience, but benefiting from, from people who have been doing this stuff for a lot. There are people who, you know, have been involved in Santa Cruz and West Coast stuff. We have somebody from Athens, Ohio, which is a rocking community, Cove Mallard regular. And, you know, just like there's an incredible amount of skills that have come together on this crew. They're really impressive folks. I'm pleased to be working with them.
And you have a good connection with Earth First. I know that you've played at some rendezvous and you give a lot of support to Earth First. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Oh yeah, I'd love to. It's a pretty symbiotic relationship. It's interesting you asked me if I was still working with that entity, whatever Earth First is, pretty amorphous kind of thing. I've been... Earth First has been the organization, or lack thereof, that has really made it possible for me to do what I've been doing for the past 10 years. And I've had my political differences with a handful of groups in the journal, but it's two of my roommates in Eugene work for the journal staff. You know, it's like I adore Earth First. I think that Earth First is kept the candle lit during the dark years of radical activism. You know, there was just not very many folks out there doing in-your-face direct action, really calling things, you know. And now there's this just incredible wave of great actions happening all over the country. You know, Seattle has just clearly sparked a new era. And I definitely... have much props for Earth First. I feel like they kind of kept that spirit alive over the past 20 years.
I think musicians like yourself are one of the big part of keeping that spirit alive. You know, there's a really big connection between Earth First and music. You know, I realized that when I went to the first rendezvous and the campfires and the musicians and such a really lively connection, you know, rather than just listening to music on the radio. You know, you folks are, you know, telling the stories of you know, our journeys and struggles, and I think that's just wonderful.
My first encounter with Earth First, I was, it was 1990. I was not quite 30 years old at that time and had spent my first decade out of the nest just being the most radical person that I had ever met. And a friend of mine who I'd met at the Kerrville Folk Festival, Sage Smiley, who lives right up the road in Berkeley, just mentioned to me this I'd never heard of. It was right after the Daryl and Judy bombing, and I didn't know anything about it. I'm not so in touch with mainstream media still. And she just told me there's this thing in Montana, the Round River Rendezvous, and I think that you would have a lot to offer to these folks, and they would have a lot to offer to you. And it pretty much defined my life for the next 10 years, you know. It's like, I mean, I've always had a great deal of admiration for Woody Guthrie, Joe Hill, Utah Phillips, and had no concept of where to plug in and how to do that until I met Earth First. So, yeah, it's I hear a lot that the musicians are really important in terms of keeping the spirit alive, and I certainly feel like my work is valued, and at the same time, I couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for people who just really, truly give a shit, you know. The other avenues are like Nashville, New York, L.A., you know, and commercial mainstream music, and I have no desire to do that.
You're such a talented musician. I'm wondering the story of, it seems like you could, if you wanted to enter the, you know, commercial music kind of scene, and was that a struggle for you at all, or do you just feel like this is who I want to play for and this is where I'm at?
I think that, I make, over the past 4 years since I've been on the road doing this full time, I probably make between $3,000 and $4,000 a year, you know, which is just like not very much. I know that there are some folks out there going, oh, what do you do with all that money? So what it means is that sometimes I don't eat like week old bagels. I'm open to, certainly at this point in time, you know, I travel, I can't have a garden, you know, so I kind of, you know, am by necessity something of a junior capitalist, you know, it's like money is guitar strings and, you know, pizza and stuff like that. But, so it's not like I've made a choice that, like, I'm eschewing, you know, going anywhere with my music so that I can play for folks who live on free bagels. It's more like the bottom line is not money, first off. If it was, then I might as well be plumbing or doing, you know, data entry or whatever. And also, I just, like, I really believe that, you know, I strive to take the next right step, just put one foot in front of the other and look at my options and, you know, kind of like strike a balance between what is my joy and what is responsible behavior. And I just kind of believe that it's going to work out, and if it doesn't, then, you know, it's you know, better to, like, kind of go down flailing I have a real aversion to selling my soul to the system, definitely.
If you want more information about Call to Action, you could check out their website. It's www.calltoaction.org. And so do you feel like playing a song for us?
Sure, would be happy to.
All right. And, we're a little ragtag organization here, so we got Danny on one mic, and so we're hoping that it sounds all right. And if we need some adjustments, we'll adjust it after this first song.
Anything you'd like to hear?
Wow. We're lucky enough. My friends and I have campfires on the weekends, and we get to hear your songs sung by somebody else. And so it's going to be a pleasure to have you here and sing them live for us. And there's a few that I really like. Dollar and a Quarter, if you want to start off with that.
You bet. Say goodbye.
That was Danny Dollinger with this week's Spotlight Sound, performing a Freak Radio favorite, Dollar and a Quarter, recorded live in the studio on November 2nd. And you're tuned in to the Weekly Freak Show. Please stay tuned for contact information at the end of this half-hour broadcast.